Hello and welcome to this Sunday's message. Really good to have you with us, whether you're part of Addleston Baptist Church or not. It's great to be able to gather together and share God's word together. So I pray you'll be blessed this morning and encouraged in your faith. Today is a very special day for us. It's the first Sunday of the month, so traditionally as a church we would celebrate communion together. So we're going to do that, hence the fact that I've come over to the church building. It's not the same without all you people here. However, and I should just point out for those of you who don't come to Addleston Baptist Church, I live next door, so I am still keeping my distance from other people and not putting anyone at risk by coming here. But I thought it would be good to come here and celebrate communion and be around familiar surroundings, as it were. If you haven't prepared communion, don't worry. What you can do is pause the video, have a rummage in your store cupboards and see if you can find some bread and some juice of some sort, and then you'll be able to participate in that with us a little bit later on. We're in for a real treat this morning because it's not going to be me preaching this morning. Katrina is going to preach. My wife shares some of the preaching duties in our church. So she's going to be bringing a message. And in last week's video, she hinted that she'd be speaking on something to do with horticulture. So that was both intriguing and exciting. I hope you're ready for that. Before she does that, I'm going to read some scripture. I'm going to read a little bit of a psalm, Psalm 92, picking up very much on this theme of horticulture. So let me read these verses to you. They're the last four verses of Psalm 92, and they say this: "The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, 'The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him.'" Well, what wonderful verses those are. And my question to you this morning is, are you flourishing? Do you feel fruitful as these verses imply? Maybe not. Maybe during this time of lockdown, you feel anything but fruitful and you feel far from flourishing. Speaking on my own behalf, we're busily trying to homeschool our two young boys. And there are plenty of times where I feel like I'm certainly not flourishing. I think floundering is probably the better word to use. And yet, within this psalm, we discover that those who are in the Lord, who are righteous in the Lord in that sense, they do flourish. And I guess the psalm implies that it's not down to the plants that are planted, it's down to the gardener who's in charge that makes those plants thrive. You see, those of you who are gardeners among us will know that the gardener has responsibilities to make the plants the very best plants that they can be. A good gardener knows that plants that enjoy shade need to be planted in shady spots. Similarly, a good gardener would know that a sun-loving plant needs to be given all the direct sunlight that it can take. But it's not just about where plants are positioned. It's also about knowing what to do throughout the seasons of the year. If you want a plant or a tree or some fruit bush to be fruitful in September, October time, you know you need to do the hard work during the winter and spring months. During the winter, those plants need to be cared for. They need to be protected. They need to be protected from the cold and the frost. They need to be pruned back. In the springtime, the soil needs to be prepared around them, the soil needs to be mulched, and the plants need to be fed. A good gardener knows how to bring the very best fruit out of the plants in his care. So are you flourishing during this time? You may not feel it, but I believe that God is at work, that God is using this opportunity to shape you, to strengthen you, to strengthen your faith, to cause you to put down deep roots into his word, and into your knowledge of Him. This is a time where we can be prepared for the next season. God is still at work in this time. So whether you feel fruitful or not, whether you feel you're flourishing or not, allow God to do everything He wants to do in your life through these experiences, through the experience of lockdown. Let Him have His way. He is the good gardener, and He knows exactly what you need to thrive. So Katrina's going to be reflecting a little bit more on that in just a moment and giving us some practical things to do, to remember in order to make sure that we are strengthened in these times. So let me pray for us, and then I'll hand over to Katrina and she can lead us in this next part. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You that You are the gardener who is constantly at work in our lives, and that You know us, You know what our needs are, and You know how best to cause us to flourish and thrive and be fruitful. Lord, we don't necessarily understand all the times and seasons that we are in, but we can trust in You. And in that, we ask now, as we study the Word of God together, that You would help us put down roots deep into Your Word. Give us understanding. Strengthen our faith. Encourage us, Lord, in the walk of faith that we have with You. And we pray a special anointing on Katrina as she leads us in this study. May she know Your presence, giving her the words to say this morning. We ask all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And with that, let me hand over to Katrina, and she can lead us through the Word of God.
Good morning. Do you remember way back when we were meeting together in the church building? Seems like such a long time ago. So let me remind you of the series that we were working through in Breakfast Church. We were considering how, as kingdom people, we should reflect the character of our King. You may remember Ben and Jackie and I talking about God's character, about the fruit of the Spirit and what love looks like. So this morning, we're going to be continuing along that theme. I'd like us to start by imagining a greenhouse. This greenhouse has been gifted to you by your Father. It's state of the art. All singing, all dancing. It has been designed to create the perfect environment for growing any plant you like. It controls trays of rich, fertile soil. The air temperature and humidity are ideal, and the watering system is high tech beyond belief. Even Monty Don doesn't have a greenhouse like this. Then imagine going out and gathering dandelion seeds and bindweeds, digging them up, taking them back to your greenhouse and planting them there, alongside your tomato plants and your chrysanthemums. Those weeds are going to grow and spread and start choking the life out of your lovely plants. We reap what we sow, don't we? We would never intentionally allow weeds into our greenhouses, but isn't that what we do with the greenhouse of our heart? Our hearts, our very beings, are a magnificent gift from Father God, designed for optimal growth. Our thoughts are like seeds. Some, when planted, produce beautiful flowers. Others become weeds. Sow seeds of hope and enjoy optimism. Sow seeds of doubt and expect insecurity. I can't help the way I think, you might say. And what has this got to do with reflecting Jesus' character? If you've read the church magazine recently, you will understand that Jesus was fully human and experienced life as we do. Jesus exercised self-control over his mind. He denied some thoughts access to his mind. Therefore, we can, and we should too. What do I mean? Let's take the seed of arrogance as an example. In John 6, verses 1 to 15, we read the account of Jesus miraculously feeding 5,000 people. This crowd of people thought Jesus was incredible, and they wanted to force Jesus to be their king. What an affirmation for him! He knew he was destined to be king, and this proved it. Now, if that were us, even if we refused the crown, I'm sure we would enjoy thinking about becoming royalty and allow ourselves a moment or two of pride and self-congratulation. But not Jesus. He perceived what was coming and took himself out of that situation and slipped away to be by himself. He denied thoughts of pride and arrogance access to his mind. Here's another example. In Matthew 16, verses 21 to 23, Peter rejects Jesus' announcement that he must die on the cross. Impossible, Master! That can never be! Peter was questioning the necessity of Calvary. But Jesus cut him down before those thoughts had a chance to enter into his mind and cause him to doubt God's plan. Get away from me, Satan. You have no idea how God works. You see, Jesus guarded his heart. Like the author of Proverbs, he understood that whatever seeds of thought he allowed past the door of the greenhouse of his heart would take root and shape his life. Galatians 6, verse 7 tells us that we harvest what we plant. So how about, like Jesus, we take control of what we allow to linger in our minds and take root in our hearts. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, tells us to fight to capture every thought until it acknowledges the authority of Christ. It's going to be a battle at times. But we don't do this in our own strength. The Holy Spirit is ready to help us manage and filter the thoughts that try to enter. He can help us guard our hearts. So when the seed of inferiority comes along and questions your value, saying, you're such a loser, you fail time and time again, you let people down, you're so worthless. Don't let that thought in. You are spirit-led. Take that thought captive, put it in cuffs and march it down to the courthouse, to the judgment seat of Christ. Say, Jesus, this thought says I'm worthless, a loser, that I'll never amount to anything. What do you think? You see, what you are doing is submitting thought to the authority of Christ. If Jesus agrees, let the thought in. If he doesn't, kick it out. How do we know what Jesus thinks? Well, we have his spirit living within us. And we have access to the truth that is God's word. Ephesians 2:10 tells me that I am God's workmanship. Romans 8:1 says that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Therefore, this thought of inferiority and worthlessness does not pass the Jesus test. And it doesn't gain entry into the fertile soil of your heart. You have the right and the authority to boot it out. Let's take another example. This thought that presents itself at the door of your heart is temptation. Perhaps it looks like a female colleague or a neighbour who has curves in all the right places and who makes you feel good about yourself. Perhaps it is a man who takes the time to really listen to you, who seems to understand who you are. And it doesn't help that he's handsome to boot, more so than your husband. This kind of thought invites you to take a walk down a road filled with heady fragrance, comfortable lies, and shadowy corners. If you weren't a child of the kingdom, you may well not recognise this weed. In fact, you may welcome it, entertain it, and let it into your heart. But you have the mind of Christ. So you take that thought to Jesus and ask for him to shine his truth on it. You take the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and discover that Philippians 4 verse 8 tells you to think only of those things which are good and pure and honourable. Colossians 3 5 tells you to put sexual sin and impure thoughts out of your life. 1 Corinthians 6 and 7 remind you to honour God with your body and restrict sex to the context it was intended for, marriage. So armed with the opinion of Christ and the sword of the Spirit, you cut down that thought and send it packing, planting instead the seeds of truth in your heart. I'm sure you can think of many other examples that are more pertinent to you. But the point remains this. As an ambassador of the kingdom of God, your thought life and the life that flows from it should be like that of the King. Controlled, pure, producing good fruit and beautiful flowers. So submit your thought life to the authority of Christ. Guard your heart from the weeds that the enemy and your old self try to plant. And enjoy living in the victory of the King. You'll be delighted at the results. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the tools that we have at our disposal to become the children that you long for us to be. We thank you for your Spirit. We thank you for his voice that gently prods and pushes at our conscience when we are doing and thinking and acting wrongly. We thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the Bible, Lord, and the truth that can cut through any lie that seeks to worm its way into our minds. We thank you for the confidence of friends, people to whom we can be accountable, people to whom can speak words of wisdom and life into our hearts. And so, Lord, we take from today that we can do all things through Christ. That there is no weapon formed that can prosper against us. That you have given us sound minds. You have given us minds that we can discipline to become like you. And so we humbly and gladly accept your help and look forward to seeing fruit in the lives of our spirits. I bless you now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, Katrina, thank you so much for sharing that. It's been wonderful just to listen to all those scriptures being read and those lovely reflections that have been so helpful. I trust you've been helped by it. I know I certainly have. And it leads nicely into communion as we share the bread and the wine together. Perhaps before we do that, though, we just take a moment to think back over the words that we've heard. And maybe there's a particular scripture that stood out for you and that truth of that scripture has really spoken into your life. Maybe you've been challenged in some way by what Katrina has said, and there are areas or an area of your life where you know you need to do a little bit more work and you need to be more grounded into the good soil that God has planted you in. So just let's take a moment just in silence just to commit those things to God, and then I'll pray and then we'll share the bread and wine together. Let's take a moment. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that we've been able to hear truth today. And I thank you that you are the good gardener working to make us flourish and be fruitful. Help us, Lord, to put into practice the things that Katrina has shared with us, holding on to truth, holding on to our faith. And Lord, as we come to share this simple meal together, the bread and the wine, we thank you for it. We thank you for the bread that represents Christ's body broken for us. And we thank you for the wine that represents Christ's blood shed for us. And as we share this meal, we align ourselves with you. And we also align ourselves with one another. Even though we physically can't be together, we are one in Christ, one family, one church. So thank you for this communion. Bless us now as we partake of it. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11, he says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Well, I invite you now to take the bread and break it, just as Christ's body was broken. And then take a piece and eat it, and know that Christ's body was broken for you. Please share the bread. Body of Christ. And in the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. Drink this in remembrance of me." If you'd like to share the cup now, the blood of Christ shed for you. This simple meal reminds us of the sustenance, the nutrition, and the provision of our Lord, not just for our physical well-being, but for our spiritual well-being too, so that our faith may grow, become fruitful, and truly flourish. What a privilege it is to share this meal together. I'm going to invite Katrina now to pray for us, for our nation, our world, our community, as we lift our community to God in intercession. Katrina.
Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for that reminder of your provision. We thank you, Lord, that you've promised to meet our every need, whether it be a physical one or a spiritual one. And it's because of your goodness and your faithfulness that we come to you now with those situations and people that are on our hearts. We lift to you our loved ones, those who are near and dear to us, those who maybe we are distanced from at this time. Lord, meet their needs.
out of your bountiful warehouse. Will you meet their needs? And may they turn to you and see your smile upon them. Lord, we lift our wider community to you. We lift our neighbours, those in our vicinity, those in our town. And we can't know what everybody's situation is, but you do. And so we ask that out of your goodness and faithfulness, you will provide for their needs. That you will provide strangers who will offer them love and assistance. That you will provide for them their daily needs through food parcels, through contact with another, through a stimulating conversation, through the help of the services available to us in our community. We thank you for those, Lord, who are willingly putting themselves on the line in this time of health crisis. We think of those people who are still working in supermarkets so that we can have our daily needs met. We think of those who are collecting rubbish, those who are teaching and looking after children, those who are manning phone lines, those who are making up prescriptions that we need while we're ill. And of course, those who are on the emergency services, the police, the fire, the coast guards, and the doctors and nurses, healthcare professionals, the cleaners, all those at work within the hospital and community. Lord, we lift them to you, and you know their needs. And we ask, out of your goodness and your faithfulness, will you provide for them? Will you give them rest and stamina? Will you protect their mental and physical beings that they would not succumb to the illness? Would you encourage their spirits? Bless them with joy. Help them through the grief as they see so many horrible situations unfold before them. May there be a greater sense of community and compassion amongst them that would draw them together and strengthen them at this time. And Lord, we lift our governing bodies to you. We lift the Prime Minister, we lift the royal family, we lift the government and the councils to you. And we ask that out of your goodness and your faithfulness, you will provide for them, that you will give them wisdom in making good decisions, that you will give them the ability to discern right from wrong, good choices from bad, that they would resist the temptation of giving in to the easy path when a harder path might be the best way forward. May they not put greed and financial gain and stability ahead of the people and the community. So, Father, we lift all these to you and more, knowing that you are good and loving, that you are kind, that you are faithful to your promises, knowing that you are the rock on which we stand. And above all else, Lord, we pray that people would come to know you in that way just now. That they would come maybe for the first time to a knowledge of your saving grace. That there would be repentance and that people would run to your arms and be welcomed by you. And we ask that in all things that you would be glorified. Your will be done, your kingdom come, as it on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Amen. Well, why don't we say the words of the Lord's Prayer together? Let's pray.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Well, that brings us to the end of our Sunday message. But don't let that be the end of your Sunday worship today. Katrina has chosen a couple of songs in keeping with her message. What songs have you chosen for us?
I've got two songs this morning. The first is Lord, I Come to You. And that just calls upon the love of God to shape us and to change us. And then the second one is Over All the Earth, that we would know at this time that God reigns and that we call that to be true in our lives and in the world around us.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, you'll be able to find those on the links below. I've embedded those in the text underneath this video, so you can copy and paste that into a browser and lose yourself in those worship songs. So I really encourage you to do that. But God bless you. It's been lovely to spend this time with you and to know that ultimately God does reign.
Amen.
He reigns over all the earth, in your life, in my life, in all of our lives. So praise God for that. Keep safe, keep well, and we'll speak again next Sunday. God bless.
God bless.